when we first moved on to this property many years ago, my oldest, Ian, who was on guitar over here, who is now 22 years old, he was much younger than that, and he was just a couple years old. And eventually, when we got into this room, it was before we called it the worship center, we called it the sanctuary. Anyone remember the sanctuary? And he couldn't pronounce sanctuary. He called it the situator. So he always wanted to go to the situator, and he wanted to go in between gatherings because he wanted to have what he called his due to do. He thought it was a microphone, and he would come out here, and no one would be in here. People make a little bit early, and he'd be worshiping and singing, and just like until one day, because people started to notice, they started to just show up. And then eventually they did the wrong thing, and they responded and started clapping and started joining in, and he became aware of people. And so he stopped worshiping. He no longer wanted to go into the situator with his due to do, but he's back on the guitar. So someone, you're coming back into something. You're coming back into love. Love is a totally misunderstood thing in our culture today. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. I think Night at the Roxbury. What is love? Baby, what is love? Many of us, we have this cultural idea of love that we're gonna all of a sudden like just be going about, and it's gonna be like we're gonna see someone, and like all of a sudden it's just gonna be like, you know, the clouds part, the sun shines down, a rainbow, and it's just like you lock eyes and you can just hear, you know, Foreigner singing, "I wanna know what love is. I want you to show me." That's how we think love is gonna be, but that's not what love is. So today we're talking about this is love. Look at the person next to you and say, "This is love." We're going to John chapter 21, verse 3. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told him. And the disciples responded, "We'll go with you." But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No." "Throw your net on the right side of the boat." Well, that's good. Apparently, we've been throwing it on the wrong side. "And you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, which we know is John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him. He jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. We're looking here at an encounter Peter had with Jesus. Yeah, I love Peter. Peter followed Jesus, but he still struggled. Peter wasn't perfect. So sometimes Peter was faithful. Sometimes Peter was unfaithful. Sometimes Peter was getting it right. And sometimes he was getting it wrong. Sometimes he was listening to Jesus and following the instructions of Jesus. And other times he was telling him, "Don't you dare wash my feet." Well, one moment Peter was telling Jesus, "I will never deny you." The next moment he's denying Jesus three times. One moment he's cutting a dude's ear off. The next moment he's cussing people's ears off. One moment he's wanting to build a monument because it was a high moment. The other time he's wanting to walk away because it was a, a low moment. Can anyone like me relate to Peter, where it seems like sometimes I'm getting it right, sometimes I'm getting it wrong? I'm here on Sunday morning, but I really don't want anyone to know where I was Friday night. I was faithful and I'm giving today, but I was using my money a month ago in a way I'm not too proud of. Frankly, I was a good husband this week, but a few weeks ago I was not good. Can anyone relate that you're sometimes getting it right and sometimes getting it wrong? But following Jesus is about progress, not perfection. We're talking about this is love. When you look at this from Peter's perspective, because we all have different perspectives, and from Peter's perspective, Jesus had been arrested. Jesus had been put on trial, found guilty, sentenced to death, crucified, hung on a cross, died, and he was buried. From Peter's perspective, the person that he had dropped his nets for, the person that he left his life to follow, the person he spent 3 years of his life following wasn't who he thought he was. It didn't go how he thought it was going to go. Maybe Peter was thinking, I knew I couldn't trust him. Anyone like that? Knew I couldn't trust Jesus. I left my old life to follow Jesus. I was praying every day. I was reading the Bible every day. I even started to tithe every once in a while. And guess what? I was doing my best, and then my wife walked out on me. I was doing my best, and then I go into work, and I'm informed that I no longer have a job. I was doing my best, and then I go to the doctor, and the doctor says, it's back. I was doing my best, and now I can't even find a place for my family to live that's consistent. Has anyone ever been at a time in your life where you had been doing your best, but now you're experiencing the worst? And so Peter's like, peace, I'm out. He denied Jesus, cursed people, and walked away. He had left everything to follow Jesus, but then it got to a point where it looked like he lost everything. That was his perspective. You need to know your perspective may be accurate, but it's not complete. From Jesus's perspective, because Jesus had a whole different perspective than Peter, from Jesus's perspective, the Peter he called, he could have called anyone. He chose 12 individuals. The one of the 12 he called that he put onto the pathway of purpose and destiny, that he invested 3 years of his life, that he spent time with, that he let travel with him, that he taught to be fiercely focused, quit. This was the great resignation. People have quit. Not gonna work anymore. And I get it. People are like, I go to work and I'm losing money because I fill up my car with gas and I don't even have enough gas to get what I'm getting paid. This is Peter's great resignation. You don't really know who you are until it gets really tough. In your life, you don't know what you're really made of until you go through something really tough. Oh, I know. It's like, we got the best marriage. We got this. You don't know what your marriage is built on and how tough it is until you go through something. Yeah. Oh, I'm a strong individual. You don't know how strong you are until you find out that your mother has cancer. You don't know how strong, you don't know how committed you really are to God's house and to reaching people until you're betrayed, until you are severely hurt. You ever heard it said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But a lot of people quit. I remember in high school at South Hills, this was back when freshmen didn't play varsity sports. And so as a sophomore, I was playing varsity baseball to start the season, and we had just won CIF the year before, and I think we had 6 or 7 returners. Here I am, a sophomore, making varsity to start the season, batting 6th in the lineup with all kinds of seniors, great guys who ended up signing, we're talking getting drafted, and I'm hitting 6th, and I have the highest batting average on the team. And yet the coach was telling me, I want you to change your swing, because the way I was taught was the way my dad taught me. The way he was taught was the way his dad taught him, which was a little bit of an old school swing, and you whip the hips, and you can get kind of long, but you can generate power. And I'm not a big dude, so I needed like everything I can to generate power. And the coach was telling me, we're going to work on your swing. In fact, because at that time, he was a senior, was Jeremy Jambi, who actually just tragically a couple months ago took his life, and his brother was Jason Jambi. And so Jeremy was a senior. Jason had gotten injured and was coming back to practice with us. And so the coach was telling me, work with Jason, learn how he swings. I'm like, I got the best batting average. I don't need to learn from Jason Jambi. He doesn't know how to swing the baseball bat. Anyone who knows baseball, you ever seen the Money movie Ball? It's about the Jambi brothers. Like, he were talking about all-stars, like this and that. And I was like, I'm not going to change my swing. No way, no way. He's like, if you don't change it, I'm going to cut you. I did not think he would. And he cut me. Highest batting average on the team. I get sent down to JV. I was like horrible to the JV coach. I get sent down to JV. I now take someone's position who was already starting, and they're not playing. So after a few games, the coach comes up and says, hey, I'm not going to start you because this team's easy, and I just want to give the guy that you took his place some playing time. I looked at the coach. I took my jersey off and threw it in his face. He said, bye-bye. Yeah, that's how crazy I was. How crazy I am. That's why I can relate to Peter. That's why I can relate to saying, this is not how I thought life was going to go. Forget it. I quit. And in the last few years, people have realized and looked at things and said, forget it, Jesus, I quit. But you may quit on Jesus, but he will never quit on you. We're talking about today, this is love. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Maybe this is his way of saying, I'm going back to my old life. Maybe for you that I'm going back to drinking. Going back to the club. I'm going back to my old habits. What this really means here when we do that in our lives, it means I'm going back to the way it was. I'm giving up on progress. Because it's hard when things don't go the way we thought they were going to go. Some scholars would say, well, Peter was doing this in order to earn some money because it wasn't just fishing for fun. But maybe this was more about meaning, because I thought that I was following Jesus, and I thought this was how it was going to go. And I thought, because we can always go figure this out, but now I don't know what to do. I thought this was who he was calling me to be, but maybe I am who I am. No need to keep trying to be different. I'm going back to what's comfortable. So I'm going back to what seems natural to me. Maybe for someone that's like, I'm tired of being nice to people. I'm tired of helping people. I'm just going to help myself. I'm not going to trust other people. I'm done being a better person. For Peter, this was no more walking on water. For you, maybe this is like no more serving at church. No more serving in your community. No more giving financially. Because it's easier to go back to your old life than it is to keep moving forward into a new one. And the other disciples, there's few were like, we'll go with you. Whatever way you're going, you're taking people with you. You might say, I'm not an influencer. Well, you may not be a social media influencer, but you're an influencer of your kids, of the people at your job, of all the people around you. Someone is following you. You have far greater influence than you realize. The disciples like, we'll go with you. And normally we're glad when other people come with us, because we don't want to be alone. We don't want to fish alone. We don't want to drink alone. That's why you go to the bar. You don't want to get high alone. That's why you have those friends. We don't want to escape from reality alone. And it makes us feel better if we're not the only one. You remember, maybe you can't remember back to when you were a teenager, but do you remember your teenagers? But everyone's going, everyone's doing it. If everyone jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge? Yes. If everyone's doing it, there must be a good reason. Everyone must have monkeypox or something like that. I've got to get away. You ever heard it said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future? It's so true. That's why do we talk about serving here? Why do we talk about groups on Wednesdays? Because the people you surround yourself with have such an impact on who you become. It's not what we want from you, it's what we want for you. And you cannot do this thing alone. You're influencing and you're being influenced by people more than you realize. Your community can propel you forward or it can push you backwards. They went out fishing all night long. Went to the club all night long. Went to the bar that was open till 6. But they caught nothing. Throw out your nets. Nothing. Again, all night. These are experienced fishermen. Sometimes God will let you fail at what you know you're good at. Sometimes God needs to break down our pride. Because you can't fully live out your purpose when you're full of pride. Are you in a season where there's no fish? Are you in a season where nothing is working, where you can't get a job? You're in sales and you can't close a deal? You're hunting for a husband and you can't get a date? It's just like, anyone know that failure is frustrating? Extremely frustrating. When everything seems to be going wrong all night and caught nothing. Working hard, not just sitting down on the couch doing nothing, working hard, but no results. Sometimes nothing seems to be working because it's nothing you're called to be working. So sometimes Jesus lets us struggle through the night. Sometimes we only learn the hard way. I think it was like a week or two ago, I was taking a red eye out of LAX. And so I was just walking through the terminal. This is like close to midnight and I don't want to sit down and fall asleep and miss the flight. So I'm just walking and all of a sudden it's just like really, really loud. I hear, I go to your church. And this girl, she may even be probably here at the 11. She comes running over, big hug. She's like, oh my goodness, we've never met. And she, I was like, oh, this, talking with her. And she's like, I'm like, where do you live? She's like, I live in West Hollywood. It's like, you drive all the way? She's like, yeah, I do. But that's not how I first came. At first, I was in rehab in Pomona. And so they were helping get us there. And I got connected and this and that. And sometimes for some people, it takes getting into rehab. For some people, it takes hitting rock bottom. Sometimes it's not until people turn everywhere else until they turn to Jesus. But here's where I love this, that when you're walking away from Jesus, Jesus is walking towards you. And Jesus is walking on the shore. It is the same shore he first called Peter. Things have come full circle. Peter and the disciples are out there fishing. And Jesus has a fire with fish on it. They're fishing for what Jesus already has. They're trying to catch what he's already cooking. What you're trying to get into in your life, what you're trying to get into your home, what you're trying to get into your hands is already in the hands of Jesus. It is not in their hands. They can't get any fish. It's in the hands of Jesus. And I wonder, because fish can be smelly. Anyone know, like, fish can smell? It's like, I wonder, and it's cooking. And I wonder out there if they could smell what they want. Anyone in your life, and you're angry because you can smell what you want? They're close to shore. They can see it. Almost probably taste it when you can see it and you can smell it. You're almost getting angry because someone else there, and you can see and you can smell and you can almost taste everything you want in life, and you're angry because it's there, but you don't have it. And I almost wonder if Jesus is like, you know, eating a little bit. This is how I imagine it, you know, just like letting them see what they could be, what they could do, what they could have, everything you're searching for. In fact, not just everything you're searching for right now, everything you have been searching for, are been searching for, or will ever search for in life is found in the hands of Jesus. This is love. And yet they didn't realize it was Jesus. I wonder how often we don't recognize Jesus. He's just that stranger on the shore. It's like, no, it's the Savior. And he asked them a question. I love this. Jesus is so gangster. Got any fish? It's not that he doesn't know. It's like Jesus' way of saying, how's that working for you? How's that habit you picked up a couple years ago to try to cope working for you? That ex that you've gone back to, how's that working for you? But he doesn't leave them there. He says, throw your net on the right side. Now, he is talking to experienced fishermen, but they obey Jesus. Something happens with obedience. They throw the nets down, and there is so many fish, they can't even get it back into the boat. What you need to understand is when you obey God, you will not even be able to get into your house everything he has for you, into your life everything he has for you. It is a struggle without Jesus, but then there is instant success with Jesus. And I love this. It's just on the other side of the boat. Someone, you are so much closer to success than you realize. You've been struggling through the night. Nothing. But Jesus can instantly turn your struggle into success. Instantly. In one moment, and John recognized Jesus. The one who had been reclining against Jesus at the table, the only one who stood by him at the cross. Here's what I've discovered. Some people recognize God's presence more than others. Some people hear God's voice more than others. And we think, oh, it's just because, you know, God speaks to them, but God doesn't speak to me. What I have discovered is it's not, is God close to us? It's that, are we getting close to God? It's not, is God speaking to us, but are we spending time with God? I found the people who spend the most time in God's word, in worship, in prayer, are the ones who hear God's voice. As a kid, I'd be freaked out from my mom because she would be like, well, God told me this, and the Holy Spirit told me, and this and that. Be like, God, why are you telling my mom all this stuff? Why can't you warn me? But it's because she spends time. She spends time with God. And at this moment, Peter instantly wraps himself, jumps into the water. He no longer wanted the fish. He just wanted Jesus. Not if I can't even care about walking on water, he's like, I will swim whatever it takes to get to Jesus. It's one thing to come to church and serve when life is bad, but it's a whole nother thing when it's great. It's one thing when Jesus is your only option, but it's a whole nother when you've got options. Jesus allowed him to catch fish, and he left the boat. He left the nets. He left the fish. We are oftentimes put in a position to choose. What did you really want? That's why people disappear from church. They disappear from their relationship with Jesus because that's not what they really wanted. Don't choose Jesus because he's your only option. Choose him because he is the best option. He's the only way. So Peter, Swim, and the other disciples are following along, towing the net full of fish. And Jesus is like, bring me the fish. And Peter dragged it ashore. And it's amazing. And if we have more time, we could talk about how at this point, the net was full of fish, couldn't even get in the boat, but it wasn't torn. Do you remember when Jesus first called Peter on the same shore, that there were so many fish that the nets began tearing? That the things that used to break you aren't going to break you now? That I know no one here probably wants to relive these last couple years, but you're stronger now? That you have a greater capacity now? Jesus says, come and eat. Come and eat, because we can be so depleted, it impacts every area of our life. We can be so depleted physically. We can be so depleted emotionally. Anyone know what it's like to be depleted? This last season, there's been times, even just this last couple of weeks, where I've told Lindsay, like, she'll ask me a question, and I'll be like, anyone feel like you got mind mud? Like, this is not just a fog. Like, this is like what is happening? Like, I can't even get out a sentence right now. To be so depleted. Jesus gave them time to dry off, to warm up, to eat, and to spend time together. I want you to know the spiritual is more important than the physical. It's one of the concerning things these last few years is we need to do everything we can to protect ourselves from diseases, but not at the expense of caring for people spiritually. But caring for people physically can prepare the way to care for them spiritually. And I just wonder around this fire, like, probably not just staring at each other, sitting there having some bread and some fish. And for Peter and the disciples there with Jesus, like, oh, this is how it was. This is how it was for 3 years. Like, they're eating the bread and the fish. Oh, Jesus, do you remember when you fed the 5,000 when it was just a boy's lunch? Oh, and I came swimming to you. I'm trying to dry off, but remember when I was walking on water? And it's important that we remember and we reflect. Sometimes we go back and we need to remember and we need to reflect everything Jesus did, but not as a way that, oh, okay, this is how it's going to be forever. Jesus, we're just going to, it's our crew. You were back again. This is the way we're going. We're going to now do it the way the last 3 years are. We're just going to, no. That sometimes looking back is the way Jesus prepares us to move forward. And it was around this fire he asked Peter, do you love me? He asked him this 3 times. It was around a fire he denied knowing Jesus. 3 times. I wonder why Peter had gone out to fish. I wonder why so many people have checked out of serving and building God's church around the world. Why fish? I wonder for Peter if it wasn't so much that he thought Jesus had failed him. As I'm looking at this, I wonder if Peter felt like Jesus didn't fail me because they had already seen the resurrected Jesus at this point. I wonder if he felt like I failed Jesus. Because he told Jesus, I will never deny you. And he denied him. I'll never. Is Peter the only one who discovered life in Neverland? We're not talking Peter Pan. I'll never, never deny you. Jesus, I'll never stop following you. Jesus, I'll never stop living open-handed. Jesus, I'll never stop saying yes to wherever you send me. Anyone found themselves in Neverland? I'll never cheat on that. My taxes, never. Oh, never. I'll never be unfaithful to my spouse. Oh, never. I'll never neglect my family. I found that our regrets can hinder us from fully embracing his resurrection. Our regrets can hinder us from fully embracing restoration. Because Jesus got up. But I wonder if Peter's like, he got up, but what do I do now? Because everything's different. I knew how to follow Jesus, but now everything's different. I knew how to be the church pre-COVID, but now everything's different. I knew how to love people before all this happened in culture, but I don't know how to love people now. I wonder if Peter was like, I hate what I've done. I hate that I denied. So many people, we get to a point where we're like, I hate what I've done. And then it becomes not just I hate what I've done, but I hate what I've become. And how can you love Jesus and how can you love other people if you hate yourself? Peter was hurting, but Jesus was healing. Someone today, you might be hurting. You might even be here online, in the room, on the outside. You look good. You're like, it ain't my birthday, but I look good. Like, but on the inside, you know you're hurting, but here comes the healing. What if Peter's like, why would Jesus even choose me? Why would he choose me just to mess up? Here's the crazy thing. Jesus knew before Peter was even called, before he even called Peter, that he would fail him, that he would mess up, that he would abandon him at the cross. Jesus knew before he even called you all the mistakes you would make. And I love this, though, because it's only in our lowest moments that reveal his greatest love. This is love. That we abandoned him, that we let God down, and still here he comes. I got a plan and I got a purpose for your life. And it was around a fire Peter affirmed his love for Jesus, and around a fire that Jesus said, I still have a purpose. I still have a plan for your life. You never again see Peter on the boat. Never again. Never again. Holding nets, never again fishing. He went from Neverland to never again. Someone, you're stepping today from Neverland, I never thought, into never again. Never again gonna stop following Jesus. Never again gonna stop living open-handed. Never again as we transition into reaching more people, as we never, because he found his net. It was not in the boat. It was his mouth. Thousands would get caught up in his words. Out of all the apostles, I love this, out of all the apostles, the one who was cutting someone's ear off, cussing others out, was the one who spoke on Pentecost as the church launched and as a new season began, because your greatest pain can unleash your greatest potential. This is love. You're not going to find love in that spouse of yours that might be wonderful and sitting next to you. You're not going to find love in finding someone else out there, if you're single or married and just want someone. Like, we live in this culture where we don't, like, this is love. And in order to be the church, in order to carry the light of Jesus and the love of Jesus, we need to first have him renew our hearts, forgive ourselves, let things go, and say, this is a new season. Jesus, as much as I would have wanted to say, let's keep sitting around fires eating together, let's keep traveling together. No, this is a new thing. There's gonna be churches that gets launched here, churches that get launched there. Read the book of Acts. See in the time of greatest opposition how there was the greatest growth. But it starts with love. If you're comfortable with, would you just close your eyes for a moment? Because we're going to enter into a time of ministry, a time of worship. But someone today is going to get a heart transplant. someone today with a hard heart, never trust again, never love again, is going to realize what it is to experience the love of Jesus and be able to share that with others, whether or not they receive it, whether or not they appreciate it. Jesus, we thank you that you love us so much, that we can love because you first loved us. And the crazy thing is that you don't love the best of us. You love all of us. And that includes the worst of us. The moments and the thoughts that not even those closest to us know. So I thank you right now that we're gonna stop searching the world, searching the clubs, searching the online spaces to find love, because that's not where it is, but it's at our lowest moments where you came, you still come walking, you still come calling, that we discover this is love. I thought I knew, but you are love.